ghost stories online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number, Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to me. If you want to get it to me that way, just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And on today's episode, we have a different co-host today. In for Jenny today is Carol Hughes. And you may remember Carol. She was on an episode probably about a month or two back. Carol and her sister Kathy came in and shared some ghost stories. And with our ever-evolving schedules and whatnot, it'd be good to have a fill-in co-host. I couldn't think of anybody better than Carol to come on. So welcome.
Well, thank you.
Welcome, Carol, to the program. And it's interesting. It's the first time I have a co-host that's not like directly in front of me where I can see you, but I can hear you. So that works.
As long as you can hear me, that works.
That's all that matters. Yeah. So, right. So we'll be doing the regular show as always. Your ghost stories, your calls, everything, and it's what's interesting is the first episode that you're on here today. You got like a storm going on over there, and Carol's out of Wichita, Kansas, which it always storms there.
And so, I had to give you a heads up because I'm like, I had to give my dog a Xanax because he gets so nervous. And I'm like, just in case this storm does what they say it's going to do, at least Buddy will be nice and calm.
Well, my thought was, are you giving the dog the Xanax because of the storm or because of the ghost stories?
You know what? I hadn't even thought about that. He is a really smart dog.
Because if we had not prefaced that it was storming, it would have sounded really strange. You're like, I had to give my dog a Xanax so he can do this ghost story show.
Hopefully he will be fine. Just don't freak him out, Tony.
Yeah. We'll try and not do any ghost pet stories today. Although
at least not today.
Not today. No guarantees. I have no idea we have no idea what comes down the line. So we'll see what we get. We'll jump over here to our first story, and then of course we'll chat about it. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's hear your story.
Yes, hi Tony and Jenny. This is Mary W. from Indianapolis, and this is about Mount Jackson Cemetery, the haunting of, and the rumor that the cemetery was haunted because there was a story about a woman named Joanne Stout Jackson, and she's buried in that cemetery. When she died, she had herself preserved and displayed in a glass coffin. At the time, there was a small town was surrounded the cemetery, and she had herself preserved, like I said. And my neighbors, elderly neighbors, told me that the story was real because they stood in line to try to see her body several times, but they chickened out before they got through the gate of the cemetery. The line was like filed way out, and there were rumors. I never heard the rumors of any hauntings in the cemetery, but I heard this strange story that was actually written in the deed to our house. My mom told me to look it up, so I did, and I read the story about Joanne Stout Thompson, and she was a rich-like pioneer-type woman. So anyway, on with the story. I was with my husband coming up the side road by the cemetery, Mount Jackson, and all of a sudden, it was just a really, really dark night. We were out just riding around about 1 a.m. and saw these red lights form just above every headstone in the cemetery. And the cemetery sits on a very curvy road. And I often wondered after we saw these lights, you know, maybe that's why they had to keep repairing the fence, because people would crash into the fence seeing the light. So I looked over, saw the lights, and my husband was driving, and I said, Bill, do you see those lights over there? He goes, yeah. And I thought, what's causing that? He says, I don't know, maybe lights from the main road. Well, the main road was around the curve way, you know, down a ways yet, so it couldn't have been that. And there wasn't even a full moon that night. It must have been a new moon. And He said, I don't know. When I looked over at him, he was white as a sheet. And then we got to the corner and we went past the cemetery. And then fast forward on my job, I worked for an alarm company. And it was a slow night. It was Halloween night. So we decided to tell stories, ghost stories. Well, I told my story, the one I just told you. And then my friend comes over to tell me a story about, I got to get back to the story at work. Okay. The girl at work said her grandmother was going up Tibbs Avenue, where the cemetery is located, and the horse, they were in a horse and buggy. It was a cobblestone street at that time. And they said the fireballs came out of the cemetery gates and scared the horses. Her grandmother was riding in the carriage. I guess she wasn't hurt, thankfully, but that is one of the legends of the cemetery. And then, so my friend told that story, and then I had some other friends. I lived in that neighborhood. I don't live too far from there now, actually. But my friend also had an experience with a carload of friends coming around that curve at night. Only they were smoking, you know, marijuana. And she came over to tell me, she goes, Mary, I swear we were smoking and we were all high. But I swear to you, we saw something in the cemetery. And I said, let me guess. She saw the light. She goes, yeah, these red lights in the cemetery. How did you know? And so I told her my story. She goes, I did. I'm not crazy then. So I have more stories about the cemetery, but I'm just lucky to get through all the stories tonight without my dog barking. So hopefully I can call back. And I also worked across the street where there was a mental hospital that's now closed down, and saw my first full body apparition there. And I have more experiences with that cemetery as well, so I will. Oh, and one more thing. They made the health department in the 1927 made them bury Joanne Stout. Her last name was Thompson. I said Jackson, but Joanne Stout Thompson. They made them bury her in the ground because it was against some kind of health regulation for her to be in that glass coffin. And the mausoleum is still there, but they built onto it in front. Now it's just a maintenance shed where the township keeps the tractor to mow the grass and so forth. So anyway, I really enjoy your show. Thanks a lot, Tony and Jenny. And if you have any idea what those red lights might be, some people try to see some kind of gases or whatever, but I don't know. And then some lady that lived nearby said, told my husband who worked at the gas station nearby, she said that it only seemed to happen during the new moon. So I was thinking, as dark as it was that night, I'm pretty sure I don't remember seeing a moon at all that night. So I thought it was a rather interesting story anyway. Indianapolis has lots of ghosts. Thank you.
It's always interesting when you have stories of unexplained lights in the sky. I'm not quite sure what I'd rather be running into, like a shadow type figure or these lights that perpetually happen. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
I have not ever seen the lights.
No.
But I thought that was a really interesting story. And my theory on this is that the poor lady's mausoleum, they now put their tractors and stuff in there. She's just not very happy about that.
I could see that. It's kind of right? Like almost disturbing a grave to a certain extent. You know, you think, oh, this is where I'm going to be. This is I'm good. And then you got that going on.
But there was a lot to that story, too, though. But it did make me laugh out loud because as she was telling the story, I was like, she doesn't sound high. And then she circles around to the people who were. But they saw it too.
The thing is that we have a lot of stories like that where people are like, look, I had a couple drinks or I was smoking a little something, but I swear to God, this is the only time this has ever happened with anything remotely like this. Please believe me. And when you have something like that consistently happens to people, on such a, you know, a regular basis, different times, different places, but the same sort of thing with those lights.
Right.
I just don't know what to make of it. Years ago, when I was in Wisconsin, I was doing, it was just a regular, it was a midday radio show on a top 40 station. And all of a sudden, I started getting these calls from people asking if I had seen the lights last night. And I had no idea what was going on. At first, I thought it was just kind of a weird caller. And then another one came, and another one came. And by the end of it, we had literally about 120 different callers, all with these different accounts of these unexplained orb-like lights that were flying over central Wisconsin. And it was in the paper, it was it made the news, and it was just this really weird one-night phenomena that had happened the night prior. And I have no idea what it is to this day or what it was, but it was one of the strangest things.
Was there theories? Was there theories to that?
It was, you know, almost 20 years ago. I believe someone had said, or some government official had said, well, on a certain night with the way the moon reflects off of the I mean, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. It was like, yeah, why isn't this happening all of the time? But it was one of the weirdest things.
This lady, too, in her story, didn't she? She was talking about back in the day, like with the covered wagon, there was a story that they saw fire shooting out of the gates or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's crazy.
Yeah, I would say there's some sort of energy at that specific cemetery that might just be how it manifests or whatever, how it's using the energy in the area. And that just seems to be how people end up seeing it. That would be my guess on that situation. Weird story, but a good one. Thanks for calling in. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hi there. Good morning. My name is Andrea. I'm calling from Santa Clarita, California. I actually have two stories that I'd like to share. They're rather brief, so won't take up too much of your time. But in 1996, we moved into, my husband and I and my young son, we purchased our first home in Santa Clarita. And almost immediately upon the purchase, I started noticing little things that were happening. I would be in my kitchen and I would see what I thought was my son out of the corner of my eye, like someone running past me down the hall. And, you know, I call out to my son, hey, what are you doing? And I'd look and wouldn't see him. I'd go in his room and he's not there. And he'd be outside in the backyard playing or in another room of the house, which I didn't really at the time realize what I was seeing, but I kept seeing, like, would always see, like, somebody running past me. The story that I want to share is late one night, about, it was probably 9 o'clock. My husband was in our room, and he was working on the computer. And I don't know, we got into a little disagreement, and I was a little upset with him. So I thought, I'm going to go on the couch, and I might just stay there for the night. And I went into the living room, was watching TV, and I started to get sleepy, and my husband was still in the room. I could hear him clicking away on the computer. And every night before he would go to bed, he would get the coffee ready for the next morning. So I'm kind of laying there, kind of dozing in and out, and I heard him in the kitchen, and, you know, rustling around, doing what he needed to do to get the coffee done. And I'm just laying there, and all of a sudden, you know, I felt him nudge me on my shoulder. I felt the nudge, and I heard his voice in my ear. I think it was his voice. It sounded like his voice. Say, come to bed. And I said, yeah, in a minute. Okay. I answered him, in a minute. I will. All right. And I kind of was sitting there, and I'm like, yeah, this is silly. I really should go to bed. So I sat up expecting to, and I felt, you know, him behind me, expecting to see him right behind me in the kitchen doing what he was doing, and he wasn't there. And I thought, okay, that's weird. He must have went back in the room. And at this house that we were in, you could, if you were in the living room, you could see all the way down the hallway, and you could see directly into our bedroom. And I looked down the hallway, and he was sound asleep. Okay, that freaked me out. I will admit, I ran down, got up, ran down the hall, and I never told him what happened, but it did freak me out. And we just had little instances happen ever since then. Things would disappear and then reappear later in odd places. at the time, my young son used to sleepwalk all the time. And we'd find him in weird places. He wouldn't, I don't know if that was related, but he just all the time find him in, you know, odd, strange places. And my family is, this is leading into the second story. So that was that. And just, you know, but I never felt threatened. I never felt menacing. It never felt like it was whatever it was. Pardon me, that it was a menacing spirit. Or, you know, just somebody that was maybe trying to get my attention. But my family were very in tuned, and I have a lot of very, psychics in our family, I guess you could say, or people that are very in tuned to that sensitivity. So when we were younger, we used to play this game, which I realize now is called table tipping. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but... We would, you know, the table would levitate. You would sit around a card table. It would levitate. You would answer questions, and it would go up and down, for yes and no. And I was telling my friends this, that we used to play this game when I was younger called table. We called it table up. And my friends wanted to do it. And I said, oh, no, I don't know how to do it. It's been so long. I was like a kid when we used to do this. It was with, you know, a lot of my uncles and my, you know, a lot of adults, and I don't remember. So they're like, no, let's just try. So I thought, okay. No one was home at the time. It was my husband and my son were out doing something. And so it was four of us, four girlfriends. And I got a card table, and I'm like, okay, let's try this. You know, we'll try to levitate the table. And they were just being silly and not really taking it seriously and giggling and laughing. And all of a sudden, when we were doing this, I felt my hand start to levitate as if somebody was standing behind me and they were raising my hands. And I thought, okay, this is weird. I'm not doing this. Who's doing this to me? And my breathing became very labored, was breathing very heavy, and I was getting very cold. And my friends were laughing because they thought I was messing with them. And I just felt my arms just rise and rise and rise until they were above, over my head. And my one friend, you know, she's like, oh, come on, stop it. You know, let's be serious now. And she touched me, and I was ice cold, and that freaked her out. And she's like, who's, you know, what's going on? Who's doing this to you? And this was in April, and the prior to that, in July of the prior year, my grandmother passed away, and they knew this. And so my friend said to me, oh, is this your grandmother doing this? Is this your Nana? And when she said that, the minute she said that, I hugged myself and I started to cry. Well, three of them ran out of the room, two of them ran out of the room, and the other stayed. And after, you know, she was trying to get me out of this state that I was in, and she made me wake up, which I did right away, and I was freezing, and it was not very cold. It was in April. It was, you know, springtime, so it wasn't too cold. We're in California, so we don't ever really get that cold. And I was just ice cold and shaking and freezing. And that, I have to say, freaked me out. That really freaked me out. I don't know what that was, and I never did that again, and I probably never will. But after that, we still had little things that were happening in the house with, I'd come home and a door would be open, or I would lose something, socks or keys or whatever, and I'd come home and they would always be in the middle of my bed. We have alarm clocks at that time, and they would always go off at weird hours, even if they were, the alarm was just all kinds of strange things. Shortly after that, you know, we moved out. We sold that house and purchased another one, and I've never had that incident again. But those were my two freaky stories at that house in Santa Clarita. So thank you very much for listening, and enjoy your show. Take care. Bye.
What do you make of that when somebody does a game that's, you know, designed to somewhat involve the paranormal? Can that be successful at almost any place, or do you kind of have to be in the right place, right time for that to work?
I have a couple thoughts. I do think being in the right place makes a lot of difference, but the type of person she is, that she can sense that sort of thing anyway. But I always think that when you play those sort of games, and I've never heard of that, table tipping, I now have learned I don't want to do that.
It's a great new party
but
game.
I think you're, let's play this. I think you're kind of inviting that in, and you're opening yourself up to that, which she did, which would have freaked me out the way it freaked her out. Like, I just think you're messing with stuff with those kind of games. I don't personally like them, but I can see why people would do them. I got the feeling, though, if she did that in another house, she might not have the same results. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes it really does depend on the environment. I mean, I think anytime you play any sort of game, whether it be like a Ouija board game or really almost anything, I think the argument can even be made these days with some of the more modern things that we have out there, like the ghost radar apps and things like that are designed to communicate. While they're very intriguing and extremely interesting to see some of the intelligent conversation that can go back and forth, again, I don't think you always know what you're getting, and I think sometimes it can invite some stuff in that you may not be able to get back out, and especially if you don't know how to properly get it out. Even folks who do know properly how to get it out are not always completely successful at doing just that. Did you ever play any of those games when you were a kid? The ones I'm thinking of, like Bloody Mary?
The Ouija board.
You did the Ouija board?
We did the Ouija board.
Okay.
Ouija board.
How did that work out for you?
Well, one time we were doing it in the haunted house that we lived in.
Sure.
But my sister, they knew we were doing it, and so they went outside just to scare us. And it worked. Mm-hmm. Like, scared them. We're like 10 years old. They're out there saying, you know, pounding on the windows and stuff. So that was kind of like the only time I ever did it. But I've always had this really weird feeling about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I do remember doing it when we were kids. And it's like, did you move it? No. Did you move it? No. But when you're having, like in her experience where, you know, like she felt her own arm levitating and then like something kind of took her over.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she was also saying that her family was kind of, they were all a little open to things like that anyway.
Yeah.
Notice it didn't happen to any of the other women at the table, only to her.
Which is interesting.
So I think you got to be open to it as well.
I think there's
you couldn't pay me to play, especially with that woman. No.
There's a
she
level.
She would freak me out. She'd get all cold and stuff.
There's a level of the empath, like the empathic type person. And I've talked about this before where there's like, you know, like a one or two level where you kind of you walk into a room and you feel something might be kind of off, but you really can't put your finger on it. And then there's like the number, you know, all the way to the number 10 level where they can literally sense the other, you know, beings that are there and can see them while the other people are not able to experience it. I would put her maybe not at the top of that scale where she's seeing the other things, but she's certainly feeling things a lot stronger than the others.
In that first part of the story, because I really enjoyed her story, that first part where she got in that fight with her husband and she's on the sofa and then somebody says, come to bed, and it's not her husband. I'm like, okay, that's one of two ways. That's some spirit that's trying to be kind, like, come on, go make up with your husband. Or some creepy spirit saying, come to bed. I'm like, there's two ways you could take that.
It's a Harvey Weisman ghost.
Right?
Or Weinstein. Weinstein ghost. Yeah, that's...
He's creepy anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there... Can you imagine? But the thing is, there's people like that in life. I mean, that would... You know, a lot of times when you have the ghosts out there that are creepy, whether or not... I should say creeper, not just creepy. Creeper, creepy ghosts. I think sometimes people jump to the conclusion that, oh, this is demonic. This is something really bad. It's trying to, you know, get me down one of these paths. I think now there's just really creepy people in real life that do creepy things, and if they're dead and they're still able to communicate with the other side, they're still going to be the same creeper self that they always were. Yeah.
I'm telling you, Harvey Weinstein would be creepy once he passes this earth. I'm just telling you.
Creeper, creepy ghost.
But I thought that was interesting, that come to bed thing. I'm like, ew. Yeah. That's like, I don't know.
Good times.
I want to go out and have a beer with that lady, though. She's got stories.
She does. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Jose out of Wichita. I've called before about the ghost on my steps and the duende. So I'm calling about something that happened a few years ago. It was actually an ongoing thing for me, but it all kind of started when my paternal grandmother moved into my parents' house for 3 months as they helped her nurse her back to health after her being sick. We started noticing some weird things happening at the house and dark entities following us. So this particular grandmother, I believe I've mentioned before, but she was a single mother. Grandpa died when my dad was incredibly young. She was a kind of a mean woman, a practitioner of Mexican black magic. I learned this after the fact, after she passed away. But one of the first things we noticed when she came into our house is I had a cat named Hermes, who was indoor, outdoor. She was kind of a stray. We pulled in and started feeding and keeping her, but never were able to get her to be an entirely 100% indoor cat. But for the most part, she would come and go as she pleased. So when my grandmother moved in a few days afterwards, I brought her in, and I've never heard a hiss and a growl coming from this cat like that one. It was actually terrifying to hear her, and she was meowing like she was in agony the moment she set foot in the house. So this was a continuous thing. She refused to come into the house. You took her into my bedroom, which is where my grandmother was staying, and the angry screeching, howling by her would just get intensified, and she would scratch and attack because she just didn't want to be there. Shortly after the fact, I would say a month after my grandmother had been there, we were having a group conversation with my family in my parents' dining room, and their dining room kind of faced had a front window that faced to our porch. So on one corner you had the door leading into the house, and then you went around the corner, you had that dining room window, so it was kind of like an L shape. So in front of the porch, I'm there and I'm talking to somebody facing this window, and I see a black shadow just kind of walk by. It looks like it has like a long black cloak, and it just walked on by, and it kind of startled me, but I was like, I didn't think much of it. So cut to about a few weeks later, my aunt and her husband at the time came to visit, and there was a surprise pop-in visit. We weren't home yet, but we were heading home. And as they're parked outside of our house, just kind of enjoying the nice shade of the trees that we had in front of my parents' house, she noticed a black shadow out of the corner of her eye, like running towards the house. She told my parents, and that's when I kind of spoke up and said, hey, I've seen the same thing. 2 days later, after we had this conversation, my parents' backyard is weird in that it was kind of divided because of how the garage was built. It was an old 40s home, so the garage was kind of in the middle of the yard, so we had a smaller patio and then a larger backyard. So in that smaller patio, that was facing my bedroom window, and my mom was watering the plants out there. When, again, a black shadow just out of the corner of her eye, just something kind of raised around. So these black shadows kept on following everybody in my family. And it was myself, my sister, and at that point, I had just graduated high school, started college. I was still living at home because I went to college in Texas, so right there in the same city as my parents lived. So I would kind of move back and forth. My grandmother was back at her house. But again, Hermes would not come into the house. There was bad energy that was left, and there was these groans and shadows that would be lurking around the corners at all times. In fact, one of these entities became so attached with me that when I graduated college, so my grandmother lasted about 3 months, my junior year of high school. So cut to, I graduated high school, graduated college, this has been going on, and I'm getting ready to move up to Kansas to go to grad school. And these shadows are still following us. It took a lot of cleansing and visiting with people to kind of get this going, but the scariest part is that these shadows would actually follow me. It got to a point where they stopped bugging everybody else in my family. The only two people they would bug were myself and my mom. The last time I saw these shadows was probably, I had just graduated from school, so it was probably about 2010. I had gone back to visit my family, and so I'm with my sister. She's showing me her new car, and as she's driving, she pulls up to a stop sign and looks in her side view mirrors and notices and sees like the black shadows running after me. So these guys were chasing after me, and it got to the point where they would physically manifest themselves. Like I would turn a corner in my house and boom, I'd see the black shadow just kind of there. So they would always dart in and out of their way, but there was something very sinister about them, and just talking about them right now reminds me of the feeling that I would get when I would see them or when I would see them. It was always very much a feeling of dread. So I don't know if you guys have any idea what these are. Are these shadow folk, or was this bad energy that was left behind that was attracted to my grandmother? So I'd love to hear what you guys think about it. Thank you for the awesome show, and have a good one.
Carol, what do you think? Are they shadow folk?
I don't know. I find it fascinating. I definitely, I mean, but there's a reason that they attach to him that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, yeah, it's negative energy. And there's some darkness that came from his grandmother because it all started with her.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how they followed him like through college.
Mm-hmm.
And like his sister saw them. So to me, that's more than just a negative energy sort of thing.
You know,
that's a weird attachment to him.
Yeah. And when we hear things about like shadow people, I always think, you know, it's such a broadly used term where I don't think like one shadow person fits all, because I think that can be a lot of things. My interpretation of shadow people is almost just another way of saying ghost, because I think you can certainly have dark entities or negative things that are presenting themselves as a shadow. But I think you can also have good things that are presenting themselves as a shadow. That's just how they're able to prevent or to present themselves. It's just how
he was afraid of those, though.
No, sure. Sure.
He really picked up on that negative energy. But, you know, it's interesting because I do not live in a haunted house. And I know I don't,
mm-hmm.
but I have seen that a shadow figure like that in this house. And I'm getting ready for work one day and I'm in my bathroom. You know, I'm a woman. I'm putting on my makeup and stuff. And I looked because I thought I saw my dog walking by, and I started to look at him. And right before I totally turned, I saw it was like 6 foot tall, dark shadow walk past the bathroom. I was like, what the hell was that? And I've seen it once since. So sometimes I wonder, is that, you know, like the spirit that kind of follows you and that energy that kind of looks out for you, guardian angel, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe that could be it. Because I didn't, mm-hmm. it terrified me though, but I don't think it was a scary thing.
Sure.
It scared me because I saw it. In his case though, the way it all kind of started with his grandma, and she was open to that dark side anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes me mad at his grandma for introducing that to him, to be honest.
Sure.
I mean, really.
But now it's there.
Dead.
Yeah.
leave that outside the house, Grandma.
Yeah, that should be. But, you never hear about that, like in the grandparenting, like workbooks or anything. Like, hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing that with your grandchildren.
No, because grandmas are just so lovely and kind than his grandma. But I do. I think that it's a darker thing with him. But it sounds like it took a lot of cleansing to get rid of them. But it sounds like they're gone now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder, too, if part of that's him standing up to it and being, no, you're not going to be following me everywhere. And I'm going to do what it takes to get rid of you.
I think sometimes it's it. When you can jump in, you know, positively, and you can kind of get yourself, if you're in kind of a stressful place or a difficult place in life, sometimes I think that certainly attracts negative energies to you. So I would say my guess is when things maybe got better in other areas and he did kind of find ways of casting these things away, for lack of a better term, that it all kind of worked in tandem to keep it. Keep it away. He had mentioned the pets, his cat, I believe, that was sensing it, the shadow thing, even sometimes before he even incensed it. You are very much an animal person and a pet person, as folks will come to learn. Have you ever, with, you know, all the adventures that you've had in run-ins with odd paranormal type things, have any of your pets in your life ever sensed something that was just off?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the episode that my sister and I did, we were talking about our dog Peanut.
Yeah.
And Peanut, very much like, we'd have that ghost walk down the stairs at night or something, and then Peanut would start barking.
Mm-hmm.
So we heard it walking, the dog starts barking at it, and or the time like somebody ran up to the front door and there's nobody there, but Peanut heard it and he's barking.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I totally believe that animals sense that way easier than most people do. Like, it's just, I really believe his cat knew something was wrong.
Do you think it's up to the personality of the animal then how they react? Sometimes they can react aggressively. Sometimes they can react protective. Sometimes they just freak out and go and hide underneath something and they want nothing to do with it.
You do know I have a much loved kind of odd dog buddy. Buddy, he's an adorable little guy, but he's super sensitive. And the one time I heard somebody say his name in my kitchen, like right behind me, they go, Buddy. And I thought it was my friend John, was not John. And shortly after that, Buddy quit coming down into the basement. And he didn't come to the basement for 6 years. Like, whatever it was. This is a guy that loved coming down the basement.
Mm-hmm.
6 years. He quit coming in the basement. And then one day, really bad storm. And then he's like, whoa, it's not so bad down here. 6 years. He didn't come in the basement before he started coming in the basement again.
He knew something was up.
Because I don't know. That was like, I heard something say, Buddy, my dog won't go in the basement anymore. I don't know. But that said, I still don't think I live in a haunted house. I know that sounds kind of weird.
I don't quite understand that logic, Carol, but okay.
I don't think it's haunted. I think it's me. I think there's sometimes that it doesn't have to be a haunted house. It's just that you could be open to the spirits yourself.
Okay.
Maybe.
Almost like there's always stuff around. Yeah, okay. Where there's stuff everywhere, essentially. Where almost every house is a haunted house. The world is haunted because there's so many people there. It's just a matter of, you know, do these things reside here, or am I just picking up on the passersby?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
And some of them are friendly. Like, sometimes I think it's been my dad before, or, you know, people who like me. But like that guy, his grandma brought some dark energy spirits in.
Yeah.
And that's so not grandmotherly.
Yeah.
That is so not right.
And then you don't know what you're going to get. It's just kind of like the roulette wheel of whatever is going to be on the other side.
Yeah. And then he's stuck with it. And that's so wrong. I feel bad for him.
I want to thank.
I'm mad at his grandma.
I'm guessing she's no longer around to take any of the shame for doing that.
I think he said she was there like 3 months or something.
Yeah. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I want to thank our guest co-host today, Carol Hughes, for joining us. She'll be on more episodes of the program, and maybe eventually we'll convince her that her house is haunted. Although I like your logic. I think it makes...
It's not haunted, really.
It does make sense. I mean,
it's just me.
I was thinking it was almost like how some folks are like, I had all these horrible, strange, unexplained, ghostly things happen, but I still don't believe in ghosts. But no, you have more logic. More logic to it.
Could be the voices in my head, either way.
If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an EPP extra podcast person, sign up at ghostpodcast.com, get access to all of our bonus episodes, almost like 200 EPP bonus episodes there, ghostpodcast.com. Check it out and help support the program. Until next time, thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.